And turn to the Gospel of Luke and to the book of Acts as well. And we're going to start a new series today. And I really don't know how long this one will be, but today is going to be kind of an introductory type message. Not going to keep you long, but I want you to take good notes. So if you have your bulletin there, you can take the notes on the back. And I'm going to kind of just share, like I said, introductory message today about this thought that I've had and something that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me, doing in me. And it started about, we're in April now, and it started back in February when this thought process started happening to me. And when it happened was when we were in here at the XO Marriage Conference. How many of you came to the marriage conference? There were several in here I know that came. I encourage you, that's something that we do every year in February. I don't like the time frame that it falls in because sometimes, all the time, Leedy's in the playoffs, and so it falls on a Friday evening and a Saturday morning. But it's really good marriage teaching, some of the best that you're going to ever find. Well, the best in the world is the way I look at it. But they had a young man on Friday night, and I'm going to try to get the clip for next Sunday or the Sunday after that, and I can't even remember his name, but I'll find that clip and bring it. But he was doing he had the whiteboard up there, and he was doing a little teaching on generational blessing and how it's passed down generationally. And he was talking about how in the Old Testament, where you hear about, you know, it was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the reason why they always said that is because, and we don't think this way in Western culture, but in the Eastern culture, they think generationally, meaning they don't just think about themselves, they think about their grandkids, and then they think about their great-grandkids. And so that, and it's really not, and I know you might be sitting here today, and you're a grandpa, and you're a grandma, and you're thinking, I think about my grandkids, and my kids, and my grandkids, and my great-grandkids. But in the Eastern culture, and he was showing this on his teaching, is that here in the Western culture is we have children as a married couple, and then we send them out, and they've got to start all over in life, meaning we don't pass anything along to them. And so we have, and he was drawing these diagrams of circles, like you have kids, and here they are, and they're, but in the Eastern culture, it's like block upon block upon block. They're like building something. And it's generationally in the Old Testament. And that's the way God wants us to think, is generationally. That's the way he wants the church to think. The church doesn't think generationally. The church is like, let's make sure our church service is good today, but let's not think about those kids that just went back there in the back. We're not thinking too far enough in advance. Everybody follow me? Am I making any sense whatsoever? That's the way God thinks is generationally. And we need to think that way as well. And so that's kind of where this thought process happened when I saw this young man drawing that diagram up there and showing what they do in the Eastern culture versus us in the Western culture, and how it's, he brought it, and I'll have to bring the, because I'm not doing a very good job of it, as you can tell, but I'll have to bring the teaching on that because he showed how it has broken down the family unit, the marriage and the family. And it was really eye-opening to me. And so here the other day, well, it's actually been a couple of weeks ago, I was actually with a guy for a lot of time. I was actually in his vehicle with him, and we were driving around and we were talking, and this guy was about half my age. And the whole time that I was with him, he kept talking about his granddad and his dad. And I'm going to be honest with you, as I listened to this guy talk, and I figured out, and he's not married, he doesn't have children yet or anything like this. He's about half my age, like I said. And he's talking, but he's telling me as we're just going about doing life and just visiting, he's telling me what his granddad left him and what his dad left him. And I'm sitting there, and I know my dad's on the front row, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, I'm thinking, this guy was, in my opinion, when I'm sitting there talking to him, this kid was just born with a silver spoon in his mouth, you know, and because his granddad left him something and his dad left him something, or his dad's leaving him something, his dad's still alive. And I was just sitting there, and I'll be honest with you, I got a little jealous. I was like, man, this guy, he's got it going on. He's half my age, and he is way, here I am, 48, and he's way further than me, and I want to be where he's at. That's what I'm thinking generationally, and I'm thinking about that. And I got a little jealous. And as I was thinking about it, God began to correct me and say, Mark, I'm your father, and there's more of a generational blessing on you than it's even on him. Yeah. And I was like, really, God? And he said, yeah, and I've been trying to teach you this for a long time, and you're just now, at the age of 48, waking up to it. Aha, you know? And I was sitting here going, okay, God, then I need to learn some things then. And I found out that even though I you know, I'm your pastor, and I love the Word of God, I love getting into it and finding these nuggets and everything, I mean, this has opened up a whole new world to me. A whole new world. What's that song off of? That just came to me. What? Aladdin, yes. See, I've watched too much Aladdin growing up with Taya. But it opened up a whole new world to me, and so I began to dig in the Scripture and just look at what we really have as Christians, as believers, as an inheritance. And most of us, and I'm talking about the big C, the big church, most of the church sits around thinking about heaven all the time. Heaven's the reward. If you know Jesus, you're going to heaven. You've got your ticket punched. You've got your fire insurance. You're going to heaven. But we sit around and we think about heaven. We talk about heaven. And I'm not, don't leave here today and say, Pastor Mark, don't want us to go to heaven. I'm not saying that. That's the reward. We're all going to heaven. But God, there's an inheritance that we have right now that we can live in right now. And what God began to show me, and this is the thought. And like I said, this is an introductory message because it's going to take several Sundays to unpack this. And, you know, last week we celebrated Easter. Love Easter every Sunday. We pack the church out. Everybody's here. You know, we love Easter. God in the resurrection and the cross, but I want you to listen to this. God's redemptive purpose at the cross was not to get you to heaven. Now, I'll let you pick up your false teeth, okay, if you have any. Because that's the reward of the cross is heaven. But God's redemptive purpose at the cross was not to get you to heaven. The purpose of the cross was to restore you and I to the original blessing and mission that was found in the Garden of Eden in the book of Genesis, or the Eden blessing, before the fall. What God the Father was trying to restore to us. And we're going to go into the Word of God, and we're going to look at what that Eden blessing was and all that and what your inheritance really is. But here's the problem, guys. The problem is, even though, and I'm looking around at everybody in here, and I'm pretty sure, I know most of you in here, and if you're not, you will be by the time you leave today. I'm pretty sure every one of you in here know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Amen. And if you don't, you're going to by the time you leave today. But we sit around and we think that we live our lives like we still live our lives, even though we're sons and daughters of the Most High God, we still live and act and talk like slaves and orphans. And God is saying, I want you to act like, talk like, and be my son and be my daughter and represent me in the earth. And it's all about training this thing right here. The brain, the mind, that we have the mind of Christ and not the mind of this world. And so there's a lot that I want to unpack with you in this, and it's going to be a great teaching, and I encourage you to be here every Sunday. Every Sunday we're going to learn a little bit more about what our inheritance is. But today is going to be, if you're a Christian, you're going to leave here thinking, well, that was pretty elementary. I feel like I know all these things, but we need to be reminded of this stuff. Amen? Is because to understand your inheritance, I'm going to have to build this line upon line, precept upon precept. And so let's get into this morning. Everybody ready to get into this? Everybody tracking with me? Amen. Everybody tracking with me? Everybody want your inheritance? Our inheritance is worth more than anything that you could ever even imagine. In fact, I'm going to read something kind of funny here to start us off before we actually get into the Word. It says that Albert Smith was on his deathbed knowing the time of his departure was near. His wife and the head nurse were by his side. He asked for two witnesses to be present and a video camera to be in place to record his last wishes. And when his family was all around him, in a weak, frail voice, he began to whisper these words: "My son Bernie, I want you to take the Mayfair housing estate. My dear daughter Sybil, you take the apartments over in the East End. My firstborn son, Jamie, I want you to take the offices over in the city square. And Sarah, my dear sweet wife, I want you to take all the residential buildings on the banks of the river." The nurse and witnesses were noticeably astonished as they listened in silent amazement to this impressive list of properties. They had no idea Mr. Smith had accumulated such extensive holdings. And as Albert began to slip away, the nurse standing close to Sarah, his wife, softly and respectfully said, "Mrs. Smith, your husband must have been a very hardworking man to have accumulated all of those assets." "Assets?" Sarah blurted out in disbelief. "Those are not assets. Those are his paper routes." I thought, man, that is good. Oh, you were left way more than a paper route today. Look at somebody and say, "I was left more than a paper route." You were left more than a paper route, I promise you. So we're going to get into this, and I'm going to show you a few things in Scripture. You're actually left blessed. That's the title of this message, is left blessed. In Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 53, and I read this at the beginning of service, if you were here before we started worship. This is called the Ascension of Jesus. And we talk a lot about Jesus' birth, you know, at Christmas, his death and resurrection at Easter, but we don't hear much about his ascension. And the ascension is actually celebrated 40 days after Easter on a Thursday, because Jesus was here appearing to his disciples and apostles and other people over a 40-day period, and then he went into heaven. But we're going to celebrate the ascension today, and everybody said amen. All right, so here's Luke 24, verses 50 through 53. It says, "When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God." I want you to notice that he blessed them and he left them blessed. That's very key. He left us blessed. He didn't leave us as orphans. He didn't leave us as slaves. He left, and he didn't leave us wondering what in the world's going on. He left us blessed. Look at somebody and say, "He left us blessed." I want you to get that today. Then we're going to jump over to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11, it says, "After he said this," this is talking about the same thing that happened in Luke, and we're just seeing it in Luke wrote Luke and Acts, but this is how he said it in Acts. Acts 1, verses 9 through 11. "After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes," so they saw this, "and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going. And when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them, 'Men of Galilee,'" these were angels, "'they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.'" So Jesus is coming back. He left us blessed, but he's coming back as well. Now, I'm going to give you three things if you're taking notes. So there you want to, on the back of your bulletin, you may want to go 1, 2, and 3 and give some space in between them, because I'm going to get, you know me, I'm going to give you a lot more scripture as well. But I'm going to give you three things that are just very foundational, that but you have to know these things about your inheritance, or you're never going to understand your inheritance. Number one, here's number one: we have a friend in high places. Garth's got all his friend in low places. I got a friend in high places. I've got a friend. Here we go. I'm not going to start saying, okay. I feel like Garth up here with you know how Garth wears this same thing when he does his, okay, you guys aren't with me. We have a friend. We have a friend. Everybody's like, don't you even dare do it. We have a friend in high places. And this is John 15, verse 13. Where the apostle or Jesus said this: "Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus, and he wasn't just talking, he was talking to his disciples, but he's talking about all of us here today. Jesus laid down his life for us, and he calls us friends. And Jesus is our friend in high places. And I'm going to show you what his ministry is up there in heaven right now, where he's at. There's a few things you might want to, this is under number one. Jesus is our advocate. And this is out of 1 John 2, verses 1 through 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. And everybody said, amen. I've ran into people that Jesus, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, when you believe that in your heart, when you confess that with your mouth, you are saved. You're eternally secure. All your past sins, all your present sins, and now once you catch this, and all your future sins have been forgiven.
Amen.
Amen. Does that mean that we still mess up? We have an advocate with the Father. We're still righteous because we received Jesus as our Lord and Savior. I've ran into people that beat themselves up so much, and now the Holy Spirit's job is to clean people up. That's not the pastor's job. That's not anybody else around you. You know, religious people will try to clean you up. That's the Holy Spirit's job, all right? And the Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. If you're really saved, the Holy Spirit will be working on you and working on you and working on you and working on you and working on you. Because I've ran into people, and I've had people ask me this, being a pastor, well, what if I'm in an accident? What if the way that I die is that I'm in an accident, and right before I die, I'm having a wreck, and I say, I'm not going to say it, but you know what? Oh, crap, all right? Am I going to go to hell because I said a cuss word right before I died? No. And everybody said, amen. I'm telling you guys, people get hung up on that. They think if I sin that one time, even after I've received Jesus as my Lord and Savior and I let one cuss word come out of my mouth, then I'm doomed and I'm going to hell. No, you're not. Do you need to cuss? No. It's not a good witness when you're running around mouthing like that. But I can tell you, I used to have foul language too before I came to Christ. When I came to Christ, that was one of the things, and everybody's different. That was one of the things that the Holy Spirit helped me with. It wasn't Mark Haney that did it, but God just took that desire away from me to cuss every other word. And if you have that problem, that and you're saved, ask for the Holy Spirit to help you. Holy Spirit, help me with my speech. Help me correct that. And he will. That's the goodness of God. Is it a heaven or hell issue? No, it's not. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said? Now, don't leave here and say, Pastor Mark gave me the right to cuss you out. No, I didn't say that. All right, everybody got that. All right, here's the next thing. Jesus is our intercessor. These are foundational things that you need to know so that you can receive your inheritance. It says, therefore, in Hebrews 7, verse 25, it says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him because he always lives to intercede for them. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for all of us today, making intercession for the saints. Jesus is our mediator. That means he's the middleman, and the miracle is in the middle. Everybody look at somebody and say, the miracle is in the middle. Jesus is the miracle. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 through 6 says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. This has now been witnessed to at the proper time. So Jesus is our mediator. Here's something else that you need to know. Jesus is our high priest. This is Hebrews 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, we're talking about the ascension today, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. And everybody say amen to that. He's went through everything that you're ever going to go through, and he did it without sin, and he can help you overcome anything that you're facing. And everybody said Amen. All right. So has everybody got that? We have a friend in high places. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. He's our mediator. He's our high priest. Nowhere does it say there that he's up there with the magnifying glass wanting to burn us, wanting to fry us, or wanting to beat us with the paddle. He is a good God, and he's a good God all the time, and he wants to help you live an overcoming life. And he has an inheritance that he wants to leave to you. All right, here's number two. Let me read the last verse of that, of Jesus is our high priest. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It doesn't say that we can't come to God's throne. You know, everybody's, you know, they get to the point where, well, if I come to God's throne, he's going to spank me. No, that scripture right there says, approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. We have a good God. All right, here's number two. The promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. And this is John 16, verse 7. And I'm going to read this out of the Message Bible. This is Jesus. And he says, so let me say it again, this truth. It's better for you that I leave. If I don't leave, the friend won't come. But if I go, I'll send him to you. The friend that he was talking about is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's the third part of the Trinity. The Father and the Son are in heaven. The Holy Spirit is here on planet Earth with us, his saints, his believers. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit wants to be your friend, wants to be your helper, wants to be your comforter, wants to be your counselor. Those are all the things in Scripture, what it says that the Holy Spirit does. He wants to help you live an overcoming, godly, Christian life is what the Holy Spirit wants to do. And I want to show you how it's your inheritance. This is the Apostle Peter when he was preaching, and this is when 3,000 people got saved. And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this promise, the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit, is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. It's your inheritance. It's your children's inheritance. It's your grandchildren's inheritance. It's your great-grandchildren. I want to leave a spiritual legacy for my family. Amen? I've got a daughter. I've got a son waiting for me in heaven. I have a daughter. One of these days, I'm going to have grandchildren. Right now, I have a grand dog. His name is Theo, and he's even going to heaven in Jesus' name. And so my daughter and Cameron, they just adopted a dog. And everybody ready for a rat? Well, let's take a dog trail real quick, okay? Here's a dog trail for you. This is for some of you younger parents in here and your kids aren't grown yet. As you kind of go through, what are the three C's that I tell people in parenting is, you know, when you start off, it's kind of like that commanding, you're the commander. As a parent, you know, you're teaching your kid right and wrong. And then as they get older in their teenage years, you're like their coach. And then as they get older and they get married, you become their consultant. And when I found out being a consultant, they either listen to you or they don't. It's their choice, you know. And they didn't listen to us. And I mean, I'm putting this on the radio and everything. and on the internet is they just bought a house in Weatherford, and they're going to close on their house on April the 30th. Well, they wanted to adopt a dog, and of course, Tay had already got on all the adoption agencies. Here comes this little puppy across the screen, and it's Theo, and they both wanted it, Cameron too. And so our advice was consulting, parents is consulting. Why don't you wait until you close on your house in April the 30th? Well, that puppy may not be there. Well, there's going to be more puppies that come. I promise there'll be more puppies that come, but not that puppy, not Theo. And so, because we told them right now they're living with Cameron's parents in Weatherford, and that might not be a great idea, you know, with the parents. And Cameron needs to clear that with the parents. And Cameron said they'll be fine with it. And they went and got the puppy, and they weren't too fine with it. So they're learning. And I was thinking about that. We do that a lot with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will be consulting us. Don't do that. And here's the deal. God gave us a free will and a choice. And sometimes we need, not sometimes, all the time, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit when he's telling us, that's not a great idea right now. You need to wait, or wait, no, whatever. Listen to the Holy Spirit. How many of you wish you'd listen to the Holy Spirit? Man, I tell you, there's been many a time in my life where I had the same kind of consulting going on with the Holy Spirit, and I didn't. No, by gosh, I want my way right now. And I was like, wish I'd listened to God on that one. All right, so the Holy Spirit was left to us as a promise from the Father. I'm going to just tell you my story a little bit. I was water baptized on October the 10th, 1993, for the second time in my life. And then 10 days later, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit on October the 20th, 1993. And I encourage you, and we're going to look more into this as we get into this teaching on our inheritance, but I encourage you right now, because I never had anybody, I never had a pastor encourage me to do this, but I encourage you to go home and read the book of Acts. Read the book of Acts. That's where we're at. We're still in the book of Acts, the continuation of what Jesus, after his burial, his death, and his resurrection, then the book of Acts, the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and that was when the birth of the church happened. We're still in the book of Acts, all right? But I encourage you to go read the book of Acts. And what you're going to find out about the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts is this. The Holy Spirit gives you the desire and the power to obey God. Amen. All right, I'm just going to get to the screen that shows you all this. The Holy Spirit gives you courage, boldness, confidence, insight, ability, and authority. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to witness. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual wisdom. We all need spiritual wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives you spiritual gifts. That's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The Holy Spirit gives you the nature and character of Christ. All this comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can't conjure any of this stuff up yourself. And there's a lot of people trying to live for the Lord just by sheer willpower. And our willpower is strong, but you need the Holy Spirit's help to be an overcomer and to receive the inheritance that God has for you. So those are what the Holy Spirit does for us. And when you read the book of Acts, this is what you're going to see. You're going to see people get saved. You're going to see people get water baptized. And then you're going to see people get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And when they receive the Holy Spirit, it says that the Holy Spirit gave them power and they witnessed with extraordinary results. And that wasn't just for the apostles, it's for us today too. Is still given to us today as well. And so we need that. That's part of our inheritance, is the promise of the Father or the Holy Spirit. Look at somebody and say, you need the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. But here's the deal. We need more of him. We need more of him. All right, here's the last thing that I want to tell you today. And it's the promise of Jesus' return or the second coming. And that's part of your inheritance as well. All of our inheritance. I hope I'm still alive when he comes back. If I'm not, then so be it. My resurrected body, I don't know how that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. The scripture says it's going to happen. God is God. Amen? So that is part of my inheritance, the promise of Jesus' return, the second coming. And this is out of 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11. I want you to hear this pastor today. I'm not setting any dates. I'm not setting any times of when Jesus is going to come back, but I am going to tell you something that all of us need to do, all right, to receive our inheritance and all of us what we need to be doing in the here and now. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 11, this is the Apostle Paul speaking through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." Jesus even said it's going to be like the days of Noah. "But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You're all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness, so then let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. God doesn't want to beat you up. Amen. Let me finish this. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. Here's where I've settled as a pastor. I have tried to teach the book of Revelation. I've tried to figure it out myself. I've tried to figure out if Jesus is coming back pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation. I've heard people talk about all three of those, and when you hear people talk about all three, you're like, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that one, you know. And finally, one day, I was just like, God, what did Jesus say? Jesus said he doesn't even know the day or the hour. Only his Father does. He don't even know. And so I'm like, and then when I look at what Jesus taught and what the Apostle Paul taught, what we just read right there, this is what I want to tell you today. We all just need to be ready. That's it. Bottom line, that's the simple. I'm not going to get up here and try to teach that when he's coming back, because I don't know. I'm not going to set a date. And there's been lots of ministers and preachers and teachers and evangelists, and you can go on down the list that have set dates, and they need to say a big I'm sorry to the body of Christ, because a lot of them, back in the 1980s, we were all going home. We're all still here. It's 2018, amen, and I don't know when it's going to happen, but I know it's going to happen. Even the Apostle Paul was looking for it in his day. It's going to happen, but those times and seasons are in the Father's hands. Jesus don't even know. Jesus is waiting for his Father to say, son, it's time to go get your bride. Get on your white horse and go get her. And what he's telling me as a pastor is that the bride, and I'm part of the bride, we got a whole lot of work to do. Because right now, we're not acting like a bride. We're not being the bride. We're not being sons and daughters. And that's why we have to have the fivefold ministry teaching us what our inheritance is and looking for our groom. And when we get ready, when we make ourselves ready is when the bridegroom is going to appear. So what we need to be saying, Holy Spirit, get me ready. Get me ready for that day. And so I just want to encourage you today. That's my final word to you today, is be ready. Amen. Our inheritance is the second coming. And mark my words, listen to me. This is going to go on radio. This is going to go on internet. It is going to happen. And I'm believing God for it to happen in my lifetime. I want to be a part of that. Isn't that going to be amazing, guys? I mean, stop and think about it. That is, the second coming is going to happen. Amen. God is good and all the time. This is just a little bit of your inheritance, but these are the things that you need to know. You need to know that, number one, that we have a friend in high places, and that's Jesus, and all the things that he's doing for us right now. We also need to know that we have the promise of the Father, which is the Holy Spirit. He is with us right now. And we also need to know that we have the promise of his return, which is the second coming. And all I need to tell you is we're not setting dates or times. We've just every day we've got to be ready. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life and work on you. And I guarantee you, if I was to go around the room here right now, I guarantee you the Holy Spirit's working on me in some areas. Right now. That's part of making the bride ready for the bridegroom. And so it's your responsibility to say, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life and work on me. And everybody said, amen. I want you to bow your heads in here this morning. And here's what I want to do. Before we leave today, I want to, as I told you earlier, that if you came in here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you have doubts, I remember days where I had doubts, and God doesn't want you to doubt. He wants you to know that you're a son or a daughter, and you're not a slave, you're not an orphan. He wants you to know that you're a son and a daughter. And so I want to lead you in a real simple prayer, and I call this the prayer of salvation. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, it says that when we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, when we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So you have to believe in your heart, and then you have to verbalize that. You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. So I want to lead you in this simple prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And even if you have prayed this before, I want you to pray this with them as well. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, the very next thing that we need to do is to get you water baptized, and we can do that next Sunday. We have a heated baptistry. We call it the holy hot tub is what we call it. And that's your next step of obedience, is following the Lord in water baptism. And even if you have done it before, like I had done it when I was a child, but I knew that I needed to do it again, we can do that again. All right, I want everybody to stand up in here. And if you need any special prayer afterwards, you can come get me as well. But we're going to go ahead and dismiss. But I want to speak a blessing over you, okay? I believe in the power of blessings. And if you'll look up there, we were left blessed. When Jesus left, he was leaving people blessed. And so everybody's going to leave here today blessed today. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Be back here. Spread the word and be back here next week as we're going to talk more about your inheritance.